Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Martine Gosselink. She has been general director of the Moritz House since 2020. She has arranged exhibitions and cultural projects for museums both in the Netherlands and internationally. She's the author of several books on art and history, and tonight we're talking about the catalog she wrote with Simon Schama. Birds, the Goldfinch, Birds, Art, and Us. Martine, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. What is your time right now?
Right now, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, why? Good morning.
And it's late afternoon, isn't it there?
Yeah, almost 4.
Oy.
4 o'clock exactly, actually.
So have you finished a long day?
Well, I started a bit late because I had a party yesterday. I'm a bit lazy today, actually. I have to be honest with you.
Okay. So let's talk about the catalog, Birds, the Goldfinch, Birds, Art, and Us. How did you come up with the idea for an exhibition like this?
Well, my board of the museum requested a couple of years ago to broaden up our audiences, and I thought how to do that. So the Goldfinch by Fabricius is, of course, a very famous painting, also due to the book Donna Tartt wrote about it. And then I thought let's take that as a starting point, and let's invite all birds from all over the world, from all kind of cultures, from all ages, to see whether they can join the Goldfinch and tell their own stories.
How did you know Simon Schama before this?
Yes, I was working before at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, and I think about 15 years ago, I asked him to give a lecture because he wrote those beautiful books on Rembrandt, of course, and Dutch society in the 17th century. So we know each other quite a while, and he wrote this beautiful essay in the Financial Times when the Rijksmuseum reopened in 2013 after a renovation that took 10 years, and he said a marvelous sentence. I would like to reproduce that, if I may, that history without the imagination of art is blind, and that art without the eloquence of history is death.
Huh.
And to me, as an art historian and a historian, it sounds like gold. So we didn't meet for a couple of years. And then I read an article by Simon in The Guardian about vultures in India and Pakistan who were about to extinct due to a medicine called diclofenac that's given to cattle in India. But the vultures cannot stand that, and they die by the thousands or millions even. So due to that, the holy cows in India that are not allowed to be dragged away from the streets are not eaten by the vultures any longer, and they become huge spreaders of diseases. So it's very dangerous to the people in India that the vulture is not present any longer.
I know, and that's actually happening the world over, that vulture species, especially in Africa, Asia, are disappearing. Yeah. So you get alarmed. You didn't know this beforehand. You got alarmed, and you decided doing a bird exhibition would be a good idea.
Yeah, well, due to that article, I thought Simon is the best co-curator together with Goldfinch. So they did it really together, the Goldfinch and Simon Schama. They had long talks about what kind of art to be part of the exhibition, and they did a wonderful job. It was one of our most successful exhibitions ever.
And it's a beautiful catalog. It's an absolutely stunning catalog.
Thank you. And it's also for sale in the United States, I understood.
That's right. That's right. I got my copy in the United States. And it includes a lot of other works that were not in the exhibition, correct?
Correct, yeah. Because the Maurits House, where the exhibition was held, is not a large museum. But we do have many beautiful 17th century top works by Rembrandt and Vermeer and other famous painters. But our exhibition space is not as huge as, let's say, the Metropolitan's or the Louvre's. So we were really working hard to find beautiful objects and species to fill the room. And, well, I think Simon did a great job.
And he wrote the introductory essays, but there you wrote a lot of the essays. But there are other authors. Yeah. Who are the other authors of essays in this book?
Well, I did not know all of them yet before we started the book. But we have an English author. His name is Philip Hoare, H-O-A-R-E. And he wrote this beautiful piece. And then there is Stefan Hertmans from Belgium, diving into a painting by Carpaccio, a 16th century Italian painter. Then we have Eva Meyer, a Dutch philosopher, and Laura Cumming, who did a beautiful piece. And she wrote a beautiful book called Thunderclap, on the life of Karel Fabricius, the painter who did the goldfinch.
And that painting is small, but it's a beautiful gem of a work. Can you say a few words about that painting, The Goldfinch? It's always fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's a small painting, and you see a small bird. I've been told that it's a she because male goldfinches have more red behind the ears than female goldfinches. And she... you would have to see the painting, but without a frame. That's how Fabricius has meant it, as a kind of playful thing for the eye to deceive you, as if there was a real goldfinch sitting on the ceiling somewhere. Because in the 17th century, people had goldfinches that they would hold. Attached to these walls with a small small chain, because you could train them to fetch their own water and to put their own water, hence the name puttertje in Dutch. How do you say, demonization of a putter, to put your own water. That's in Dutch intranslatable, but I hope you understand me.
Yep.
So the bird was trained to fetch his own water from a small, tiny cup that was under the chain where he was captivated. But it was not in a cage, so it was open, sitting at the ceiling, on the ceiling, with a small chain. And Fabricius did this. We don't know why exactly this bird or... because it might have also a religious meaning, since the red spot on the head of the bird is maybe given at the moment that he was feeling sorry for Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and when they put the thorn crown on his head, a spot of the blood touched his head, hence the red head of the puttertje of the goldfinch.
But it's also a strange painting because you have this beautiful wild bird, but it has this little chain that fixes it in place.
That's horrendous.
Part of the Dutch painting culture. At the time, this was painted in 1654, is that sometimes there were real symbols that you had to sort of puzzle out to sort of figure out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many. Go ahead.
It was meant as a as if the person watching it would think.
Yep.
that there was a real bird attached to the wall. So that's the whole funny thing of it. So no frame around the painting itself.
You would probably be you'd be expected to actually hang it on the wall, and a person would come into your house and think you actually had goldfinch on it. There are so many unusual birds throughout, and artists that go with them, like Max Ernst, the surrealist, and Lop Lop. Who was Lop Lop?
The weird figure invented by Max Ernst. Yeah, you read the book really well. What did you think of Lop Lop?
I think Max Ernst probably took drugs. No, he did so many unusual and had such an incredible imagination, it took hold of him. And Lop Lop was sort of this alter ego of Max Ernst. Yeah. That's what I thought. It was this bird person. And he would actually talk about seeing Lop Lop, but I'm not sure if he wasn't just putting people on. You couldn't tell with Max Ernst.
Was this your the bird you liked most in the book?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm a big fan of Dutch Republic paintings of the 17th century, so that and you include a number of those paintings in this book, and I love those paintings. Like, there's one of your essays is called Stilled Flight, and it begins with the phrase, eat or be eaten. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. The way we eat birds is, since a long time, it's really crazy. I read this letter written by King Henry VIII when he demanded 400 herons for a feast meal. 400 herons. Where do you get 400 herons from? And can you imagine the poor cooks who have to take all the feathers out? And how do you prepare 400 herons for one dinner party?
Well, one of the things that tells me is that birds used to be a lot more common than they are now.
I think the skies were at one day more filled with those species than nowadays.
Yeah.
Because the way we hunted them down since Roman times already, like finches mainly, the way by the hundreds and hundreds they were fetched. It's crazy.
Well,
and the way we would you like to say?
Speaking of herons, in this exhibition, in this catalog, there's a 2018. Two legs of a gray heron.
Yeah.
Can you talk? Sure. You got to talk about that, because that's going to be the weirdest thing I've ever seen in an art museum.
Yeah, well, in 2018, there was a homeless person here in The Hague. He was Russian, and he had not a feast meal at all, but he had found a heron frozen in one of the parks here in The Hague, at the center of the city. And he made a small fireplace for himself, and he was roasting this heron. And then the police found out that he was making this fire, and it was not allowed there. So the police caught this guy and took him away. And then two people working at the Natural History Museum in Rotterdam, a place nearby, found those heron legs, and it's crazy. But they took it away, and now it's on show in their permanent on show in their museum in Rotterdam. Yeah, it's crazy. But we took them as symbols for you. Yeah, the chapter. Eat or be eaten, because, of course, also falcons were used for the yacht, and owls and many other birds like eagles. They were trained, to find small animals like cattle, rabbits and mice, etc.
There's an amazing painting by Hans Holbein of Robert Chessman with the gerfalcon in this.
Yeah.
It's a very dramatic painting.
Yeah, that's in our museum.
You're lucky.
Yeah, we're really lucky. It's a beautiful painting, you're right. You see the man, he was supposed to be the caretaker of the falcons at the court of this same Henry VIII. Painted by Holbein at the end of the 15th century, or sorry, now a bit later. Sorry, I say it wrong. It's middle of the 16th century, and you see this falcon wearing a cap because if you take off the cap, then it gets very restless and it stays still and quiet until you take the cap off. And then if you take the cap off, then he's ready to fetch its prey.
Gerfalcons also are the largest falcon in the world. And they're very, at that time period, they must have been very tough to get because they breed up towards the Arctic. And so it was quite a symbol of power and prestige.
Like the peacock's Rembrandt painted as well.
Yeah, yeah. Now you also...
These were eaten as well. Do you know that? People ate peacocks and swans.
Well, since Roman times, there was Apicius's cookbook. He had a recipe for peacocks, but other people thought that people who ate peacocks were showing off, that they were sort of flaunting their wealth at the time because it also makes a beautiful dish. You can put the feathers in it, which reminds me, swan pie is in this. This book. Talk to me about swan pie, because I had never heard of swan pie before.
No, swan. The people ate swans as well, also during early times. And there's this beautiful painting by Teniers where you see a woman in her kitchen with her son. And there's a beautiful swan on the left side of her, and it wears the swan wears a necklace with small hearts as signs of love, of course, because Teniers painted his own wife in this painting, and he was really in love with her. And then they will have at a certain time they will eat the swan together, I suppose, because the swan stays always with her or his beloved other swan. So the swan is a symbol of love. Eternal love, but the fact that you could eat them, and we have this same swan pastry made by using a swan that was gassed on one of our airports, Schiphol.
This is a very weird story. This is it's a very
weird story. But all those swans are being gassed every day,
so that they don't crash into planes.
Exactly.
And didn't it's Manon Hensen?
Yeah, Manon Hensen is doing that, yes.
Didn't she recommend that you also eat the geese that get hit by cars?
Well, I think for our next interview, you should ask her what she's doing with those ones. Because I've never eaten it, but I think it must taste a bit like ducks, wouldn't it?
Well, probably tastes like wild geese. You know, they're a bottom feeder, so it's probably weird to eat. Yeah, yeah, that's a very strange work. There was an actual swan pie, which people can see if they pick up the book. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Martine. Please forgive my pronunciation, Martine Gosselin. She is
very well.
Thank you. She's been general director of the Mauritshuis since 2020. She's arranged exhibitions and cultural projects for museums both in the Netherlands and internationally. She's the author of several books on art and history. And tonight we're talking about a book that she wrote, and also Simon Schammer wrote the beginning of it. It's a beautiful book. It was originally a catalog for an exhibition. Birds, the Goldfinch, Birds, Art, and Us. Your essays, did you choose your essays or did somebody assign them for you? Because you really chose some really interesting topics for your essays.
Yeah, we divided them. So Simon was, of course, the first to pick his ideal topics.
Mm.
And I myself are always very interested in birds and mythology and religions.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many stories there are, thousands of birds being those celestial creatures.
That's because mediators. That's because they can fly and we can't.
We cannot, no. And that's why we are so jealous.
Well, that's you wrote a wonderful essay called Envying Avians, which is...
Yeah, Envying Avians, yeah.
The desire for flight. Go ahead.
They can fly and we cannot, and that's the reason why we cage them, probably.
And one of the key myths is the myth of Daedalus and Icarus, which has some beautiful works in this book. Icarus, the fall of Icarus. A lot of people don't know that story anymore. Can you just describe it briefly?
You mean Icarus?
Yeah.
Icarus was the son of Daedalus, and they were both captured on this island Crete in Greece by the king Minos. And king Minos had requested a labyrinth. And Daedalus was an architect, a very genius architect, and he made this labyrinth for King Minos. But then King Minos decided to lock him up because he did not want that Daedalus would ever be able to explain the mystery behind the labyrinth. So he became a prisoner of King Minos, and Daedalus was very upset. But then he came up with a brilliant plan. He saw all those birds flying above his head, and he started collecting the feathers and to attach the feathers with beeswax on his own shoulders and also on the shoulders of his son Icarus. But then, at a certain moment, when they were taking off to start the first flight, the father really warned Icarus, like, be careful, don't fly too high, because otherwise the sun might melt the beeswax, and then you will fall. And don't go too low, because otherwise the waves of the sea, they will wetten your wings, and then you will fall into the sea as well, because it's going to be too heavy for those wings to keep on flying. But Icarus did not listen to his father. He took off and he flew into the sky and he loved it. He loved it. So he went higher and higher and higher and higher. And then, yes, his father had warned him, but yeah, it was too late. The sun had melted the beeswax and Icarus fell in a sea, which was later called the Icarian Sea.
And that has so much resonance about not thinking too much of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
written by Ovid.
Yeah. In Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's there's a beautiful section on plumage. You wrote the essay on that too, about how humans really love feathers, and there's some extraordinary indigenous works in this book that was in the show. There was a photo of a Maori from New Zealand tribal chief with hui'a feather, with a hui'a feather in it, which is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why
it
is
it? Was sold for, I don't know, how many thousands of euros? When was that? Yeah, 26,000 euros.
Wow.
Can you imagine for one feather?
Well, the bird's now extinct.
Yeah.
You wrote that the Duke of York wore one in his hat, and it was after that.
And since then, everybody wanted a feather like that, of course.
And then and then people started wearing not only just feathers, but entire birds.
Yeah, that was a crazy fashion at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. Women were wearing entire birds on their heads. It's crazy. And due to this fashion, two women in The Hague started a kind of foundation to prevent the killing of wild birds in the Netherlands.
Right.
And that's actually the very first society of bird protectors worldwide. And these were also the partners with whom we made the exhibition, because every visitor would get a sachet, what's the name in English? A small paper bag.
Okay.
Filled with plant seeds and flower seeds, where, and if you plant them on your balcony or in your garden, then you will attract nuthatches, goldfinches.
Excellent. And that relates to the cover of this book. Now, we're just about out of time, Martine.
Oh, really?
And I have a pronunciation question for you. There's a beautiful painting by Albert Kuip.
Yeah, Albert Kuip, yeah.
Portrait of the Duck. And then I cannot for the life of me pronounce the duck's name.
Try, please.
No, I'm not going to try. No, you're not going to lure me into that, Martine. No. Can you pronounce it?
Okay.
What is it? Say it again.
Seitchen. It's a female name. She's a duck, and she was laying, she was producing more than 100 eggs a year. And in 1650, the owners of Seitchen wanted her portrait. So Albert Kuip was a very famous painter in Dordrecht, in the Netherlands. He was painting her. And then a couple of years later, she passed away after turning 23 years.
Wow.
So she was a very old duck. And if you think about ducks and the eggs they produce, but also the chicken we eat on a daily basis, and the fact that chicken can grow like 6 or 7 years old, maybe?
Martine, we're completely out of time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I still haven't got to talk to you about lovebirds yet. But my guest tonight is Martine Gosselink. She has been general director of the Mauritshuis since 2020. She has arranged exhibitions and cultural projects for museums both in the Netherlands and internationally. And she's the author of several books on art and history, including the one that we've been talking about tonight, that she wrote with Simon Chama, Birds, The Goldfinch, Birds, Art, and Us, a beautiful book. I strongly recommend it. Martine, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.